Welcome to another edition of In Focus. My name is Bob Perot, and it is Wednesday. So that means we're joined by Dr. Lena Lee, Medical Officer of Health for the Leeds, Grenville, and Lanark District Health Unit. Dr. Lee, it's always a pleasure to welcome you to Lake 88.
Likewise, it's always a pleasure to be here.
And today, we also have a couple of other guests with us. We have registered dietitians from the health unit, Danielle Labonte and Salmon Shake. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
And we'll talk about this more, but this is World Dietitians Day, so we will be certain to get into that as we do evolve in this conversation. But we're going to start with you, as we do every week, Dr. Lee. And this week, the Chief Medical Officer of Health released the 2022 annual report. I'm sure there's lots of incredible information in there. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, so the report is called Being Ready, and it really is a focus on lessons from the COVID-19 pandemic as well as other pandemics. So I think, you know, now that we've been so much as a society thinking about COVID-19, it is helpful sometimes to recall, though probably not a nice experience to recall, but important, that we have had other pandemics across the globe in the, I would say, recent past. In terms of pandemics timelines, it is the recent past. So we did have H1N1, as well as MERS, as well as SARS, all respiratory viruses that were causing pandemics. So like a global reach of viral transmission. And this is a report that really puts COVID-19 in that line, and then also talks about things about ways in which we can take lessons from that long line of pandemics into any future pandemics that come. We do know that respiratory viruses continue to transmit. There's lots of talk of avian flu. So that's a strain of flu called H5N1. And other respiratory viruses that are developing. And so being prepared, being ready for any future potential pandemics is part of the work of public health, and certainly an important part of what it means to have emergency preparedness as a whole of society, as a whole of government.
You raised some great points about learning from the past. And I think that that is one of the biggest things that a pandemic teaches us, is how to react. And it also teaches us that each one is different with its own set of challenges that come along with it. I mean, this obviously in recent history has been the largest set of challenges, and the way that we've reacted to it, we will be able to look at that in the future. Should there be a pandemic that isn't quite as complex, but still be able to draw from it and react appropriately. Is that correct, Doctor?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the dream is not to have any at all, and so preventing them. But then also, like you said, if we do have global transmission of other viruses, new viruses, and typically, historically, respiratory viruses are most likely to be pandemic viruses, then, you know, if we have further transmission of that, then as a province, we're ready to respond within our borders to do our part to protect people in our communities.
Okay, so there are three main parts to this report, correct?
Yeah, so it talks about readiness of the healthcare and public health systems. It talks about readiness of the community. So that includes things like having strong community partnerships, which was certainly a big part of the success of pandemic response here in Leeds, Grenville, Lanark. And so really, it's a report that recognizes the strength of community partnerships all across the province, and the need for continued connections and work there, as well as in the community, having outbreak plans, practicing our outbreak plans. Certainly municipalities and we as a health unit have regular, we have pandemic and emergency preparedness plans, and we regularly brush them off and practice them to make sure that we're all familiar with it to know how to respond. And the last pillar of this particular report talks about readiness of the general public as well. So it talks about building social trust, and the role, because it's a report for the province, it talks about the role of the government, the provincial government, in building that trust, as well as local government. And it also talks about the importance of countering health information, which was such a big part of in the reality of living in COVID-19, as well as responding to COVID-19.
Wow, that's a lot in there, and I'm sure that we are going to be hearing about this over the next few weeks, really, as people take a look and really dive into each one of those pillars. The last one that you mentioned, readiness of the general public, but I think really building that social trust has been something that is huge. And I would like to think that the health unit and our operation here at Lake 88 did the best we could to do that over the course of the pandemic with the interviews that we did with your predecessor, of course, Dr. Paula Stewart, and then continuing on with you.
Absolutely. And I think that's such a critical part of how we keep everyone informed of the work that the health unit is doing, the asks, because we often have asks for people here at the health unit, and as well ways in which we're trying to build trust really conscientiously and intentionally with the community, because it's such an important part of our work. And it's also an important expectation that I know people in the community put on us, which is really valuable and something that we take very seriously.
Now, again, there's so many different parts of this report, but we'll ask you to just sort of highlight one of them here briefly, if you could, Doctor. We did see during the pandemic that people had different risks of getting infected or really sick. Some people weren't that affected. Other people, sadly, had the worst outcome possible. So what does the report say about that?
Yeah, so really, there's a lot of focus within the report on health equity, and we know that people who have always been at greater risk of health, severe health outcomes, having problems with their health, were also more likely to have either infection with COVID-19 or more severe outcomes because of COVID-19. So it talks about readiness of the healthcare system to care for those with health comorbidities. And it talks also about health equity and a focus all across our communities and society, including government, on looking at health and looking at pandemic preparedness for those at greater risk of health outcomes. The report does call out specifically, and I agree with the report, of course, people with lower income, newcomers, Indigenous people, racialized groups, etc., who we did see during the pandemic were more likely to have worse outcomes or more likely to get infections, often because they were essential workers who were working in person at grocery stores or as caregivers, long-term care and retirement home staff, etc. And that's a big lesson that I think we're needing to take forward and think about how we do pandemic response down the road that provides protection. And prevents the inequalities that we saw during this pandemic.
Yeah, and again, I mean, it really speaks to the importance of those frontline workers and just the massive amount of gratitude that we all have for them. Dr. Lee, thank you so much for that. Are you staying on as we celebrate World Dietitian Day?
Yeah, I would love to.
All right, so we're going to bring into the conversation here, of course, a couple of registered dietitians from the LGL District Health Unit, Danielle Labonte and Saman Sheikh. Welcome again to both of you.
Thank you. Hey, thank you.
All right, so Danielle, you recently spoke to us about the registered dietitians and what roles they have in that field. For the second part in this series, tell us about public health work that is done on a broader scale, if you could.
Yeah, for sure. So at the health unit, we do work on a population level as well. And this can include things like policy development, focusing on equitable access to food and food insecurity initiatives, working with the media like today, and engaging community groups and networks who are working to ensure all residents can access and prepare and enjoy healthy food.
Working with the media, and we appreciate that, but and I'm not trying to be tongue in cheek or anything here, but Dr. Lee, maybe you can weigh in too, the importance of getting the messaging across, not for just something like a pandemic, but for other health issues like nutrition and so on. I wouldn't say it's just as important, but it's important adjacent, isn't it?
Well, I would say it's just as important,
Okay,
actually,
you know better
because,
than me.
well, because I think, sometimes in healthcare, in public health, it feels like we have a lot of information, and there are some people who are really interested in getting our information, but we know, I have enough self-awareness to be aware that not everyone is necessarily hearing and engaged and, directly plugged into the information that we send out at the health unit. And so working with community partners, working with communicators, the media, et cetera, that's how we get our message more broadly. And for something like the work of dietitians, healthy food, what it means to eat nutritious foods and meals. And some of that knowledge, some of it is fairly straightforward, but others, parts of it can be quite technical. So some of the work that we do here at the health unit is really important to broadcast loudly and broadly. And so that communication that we do, one-on-one with our clients and with our community partners, but then also we always aim to reach broadly to members of the public to for people to know what they can do for their own personal lives day to day.
And Simon, can you tell us a little bit about the types of projects that are done at the population level?
Yeah, so the project work that at a population level that we do, they might include things like contributing to municipal plans, providing information on the cost of nutritious food relative to income and other living expenses, such as housing, which you may remember I did with you a couple of months ago. We spoke about that.
Yes.
We work with groups and organizations to inform program planning and develop community initiatives related to food. And we also partner with others to increase access to and to promote local food as well.
Lena, can you tell us a little bit about the nutrition work from a policy point of view?
Yeah, so much of what Salmon talked about made me think about the engagement that we do with municipalities, with schools, with policy and decision makers, sort of in our communities and in the province as well, because so much of these decisions take, for example, the cost of food and the cost of being able to consistently eat nutritious, healthy meals. That's not something that we control directly at the health unit, but with the health unit can provide the information about the effect of the cost of these things on people's health and advocate and speak to decision makers who do control policy around food costs and remind them, ask them to make decisions that make food more affordable, make nutritious food more affordable, and make nutritious food the easier choice for people to take.
What area do you work in, Danielle?
Yeah, so my work mainly focuses on school-age children and youth and the many places that you might find them. So places like youth centers, day camps, and then of course schools.
And so, what kind of work happens with the schools? Dr. Lee has sort of alluded to that a little bit.
Yeah, so really, I support all elementary and secondary schools in Leeds, Grenville, and Lanark by providing consultations on teaching about food nutrition, and creating a positive school food environment. I also consult with them to provide curriculum links, lesson plans and activities. This would be based on the most up-to-date evidence. We provide training sessions to educators and school staff and volunteers as well on teaching about nutrition, body image, mental health, and cooking classes. And then I'm also part of the local committees that provide support to student nutrition programs in schools. And that's kind of where some of that policy and guidance, so those pieces come in, and supporting schools and following the guidance that they need to follow for nutrition.
And your work goes beyond the hallways of the schools too, doesn't it?
Yeah, so I also work in the community with kind of the similar age group, partner with municipalities, youth centers and groups, libraries, and other community organizations to support them with really all things related to food and nutrition. So this could include providing recommendations for a healthy canteen menu at a recreation facility, which can extend into policy, offering train-the-trainer sessions for food literacy programming, or working with groups to develop nutrition-related activities for their programs.
That's really interesting. And we talked about how dietitians will be people who work in so many different areas. And Salman, your focus is on newborns to 6 years of age, and of course their families and pregnant women. So a little bit different than what we're talking about, more of a home environment. So how do you support these groups?
So this population is more so, again, before school age. So I do things like, I attend groups in the community through the Early On Centers in CRO and Connections. So CRO, sorry, is Children Resources on Wheels, and Connections, which hosts a Canadian prenatal nutrition program. And I also provide nutrition support through our Healthy Babies, Healthy Children program here at the Health Unit. And to our public health nurses and family home visitors that work with clients through this program. And I also create resources for these populations and provide ongoing education for community partners like childcare centers as well.
Maybe talk a little bit more about supporting children and families. I'm sure that's piqued some interest.
Yeah, so we use the most current and credible scientific evidence and recommendations to help children and families. So we provide, information and support the parents with introducing solids to babies, which includes recommendations on textures, amounts of food to feed, hunger and fullness cues, and food allergies as well. We help families develop, or I help families develop healthy meal times by respecting the division of responsibility in feeding, which says, what parents are responsible for and what kids are responsible for when eating. Things like minimizing picky eating and creating enjoyable eating environments. And I also support pregnant women in healthy eating and developing food skills as well.
Well, I wish we did have some more time, but we don't right now. I know that we'll be talking about nutrition and the work that registered dietitians do in the future again. But Dr. Lee, I know that there's always communication available for anyone in the public who would like to know a bit more. And of course, the website is a great way to get started.
Absolutely. We have all sorts of information at healthunit.org, which is our website, about nutrition, about the work of the health unit, et cetera, et cetera. It's all there.
And maybe what we should do then, Dr. Lee, you and I, we should sing a lively rendition of Happy Registered Dietitians Day to you. I'm just kidding. But it's World Dietitians Day, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah,
It's
excellent.
Dietitians Day in Canada. I think the rest of the world does their own thing.
Well, then we'll be the leaders then. How's that sound? excellent. No, but thank you for the work that you do. The information you provide is vital, and I know that our listeners appreciate hearing it from you folks, and then everything that comes to us from the health unit as well. So, Salman and Danielle, thank you so much for the work that you do.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. Yes,
And
thanks for having us.
Dr. Lee, it's always a pleasure. We will be speaking with you next week.
See you soon.
I'm Bob Perot. Thanks so much for listening again. You can get more information at healthunit.org on any of today's topics. You can also call 1-800-660-5853 and connect with the LGL Health Unit on Facebook and Twitter just to get some more information. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful afternoon.